I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca, opening Wednesday night at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage as the Arts Club Theatre Company season opener, Doubt. It is a play by the Academy Award-winning screenwriter of Moonstruck, John Patrick Shanley, which premiered in New York in 2004, won the Pulitzer Prize and the Tony Award for Best Play. This Vancouver production, the Canadian premiere, is directed by Rachel Detour and co-stars my guest now, Gabrielle Rose. She plays Sister Aloysius, a Catholic school nun who suspects that one of the priests molested a student. Gabrielle Rose is a renowned actor in Vancouver theater, seen most recently in The Glass Menagerie. Some of her other credits include The Blue Light, Elizabeth Rex, and The Memory of Water. She recently wrapped up three seasons on the television series Robson Arms. Her film credits include Driving the Bus and The Sweet Hereafter. Doubt is described as a suspenseful mystery and having an ever-shifting plot. It runs at the Stanley until October 12th. Tickets and information can be had at artsclub.com. Jonathan Young also co-stars. I am pleased to welcome to the Plant on the Line program Gabrielle Rose. Good morning, Ms. Rose.
Hi, how is it going?
Very well.
Good.
Tell me about Doubt. My little intro, did that sum it up, really?
It sums it up, and not at all. I mean, it sums it up because John Patrick Shanley is a brilliant writer who has been renowned, and that the outline of the play is as you describe it, but it goes much deeper than that in terms of the doubts about Father Flynn, who is played by Young, and it's a very interesting power struggle between old and new. In 1964, new form of the church, the Second Ecumenical Council, was advising the church to become more user-friendly, for want of another term. And so we see a power struggle between the old order and the new order in this play.
And as the sister, you're more of the old order, are you?
I am definitely the old order, and Shanley's extremely clever in his portrait of this woman, because you make assumptions about her, and then those assumptions are turned on its head. You make assumptions about the priest, you make assumptions about all the characters, in fact, and by the end of the play, people should be fairly confused. I think the origins of the play came from when he was rehearsing another play, I'm not sure which one, but he said that he was extremely upset by everybody's certitude, that they were very certain about certain things, and he went home that evening and felt great disquiet about the judgment and the surety with which everybody was approaching things. And so the word crept into his mind, doubt, and that perhaps doubt might be a good thing, that certainty could be a bad thing. And so from there, the first line he thought of was a line in which I am talking, Sister Aloysius is talking to the child's mother. And the child's mother is an African-American, and I am a white woman. And one character says, things aren't always black and white. And the other character says, and sometimes they are. And he thought that would be one of the lines in the play, and from there he wrote the play.
Now, from my understanding, I haven't seen the play, and I'm looking forward to seeing it this week. The student that's in question here, that's supposedly molested or not, I really don't know. he's black, right?
That's correct.
What's the significance of that? He's also the first black student in that school. Is that correct?
Yes. The civil rights movement in the States was really at its peak in 1964. It was really they just brought in legislation that you couldn't have segregation. And so I think it's quite significant that this is the first black student in the school. And then, of course, to have that student be possibly molested is an enormous statement.
You mentioned Vatican, too. That's in the background, and that plays into your role as the nun.
Definitely. It's an enormous threat to my character because she's old order. And so if Vatican II is accepted, and it wasn't accepted entirely until a few years after the play is placed, so I think, again, it's a great purport in the play.
Well, we think 1968 is a seminal year in the last century. I guess 1964, in the case of this play, seems to to mean just as much, does it not?
I think so, because in 63, JFK was assassinated, and that set off a series of events. You know, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, all of these assassinations that happened within the next 4 or 5 years. And so you see this, it's this time where things were in great flux, great change was happening. And then with that great change and great change of ideas, great change of attitudes towards things, and with that came a fair degree of violence. Yeah.
The play was written by Shanley at the outset of the Iraq War. Do you think it says anything the past? Do you think we can learn from that today?
I think that it's probably one of the reasons he wrote it. Does it have direct connotations? I'm not sure. I think that also, you know, the World Trade Center, all of the shaky ground on which we stand, perhaps today, is also reflected in those times, and also you know the innocence of the time, right? That when we talk about, for instance, the child molestation in 1964, my memory, we didn't talk about things like that. People didn't mention it. We didn't know about it. It wasn't something that was in the forefront of our minds. Now people are, you know, it's in the papers every day, etc. But then it would have been something that was really, really different, odd, and perverted, whatever, you know, you wanted to say. People would be extremely shocked that this happened in those days. You wouldn't be looking for it, you know? It wouldn't be an obvious thing.
The last time you played the Stanley, you were in the Glass Menagerie, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is it easier for you, in terms of an actor, to do something like that as opposed to something like Doubt, which is probably newer and less well-known, if we could say that about Doubt?
Well, I wouldn't call the Glass Menagerie easy to do. each part that comes along, it doesn't really matter when it's written, is a challenge. If it's well written, it's easier to do. And I've had the great good fortune to play these wonderful roles that are beautifully written, you know, like the poetic in their structure, their verbal structure. The through line of thought is very, very clear. They're many layered characters, very complex. So I wouldn't say one was easier to do than the other. Perhaps Glass Menagerie is a little more, attractive than this character. You know, she had more, joie de vivre. This character has little joie de vivre. But she still has a sense of humor, this woman, in spite of all appearances, and she's not a stupid person. So it's not that you just, nothing is as it seems. You must remember, you're going to make a judgment, and the judgment hopefully will be turned on its head.
When you're taking on a role like this, is it important for you to like the character you're playing?
It's important to embrace the character and not to try and fight it. Like the character, well, I mean, it's something about, embrace, I think, is a better word than like, because her thoughts are not necessarily my thoughts, but I must play her to the bottom of my soul. I can't make excuses for her, you know, that I would not be serving the play if I started trying to make her nice. Or, you know, extremely likable. That would not be serving the play correctly. However, she is not totally dislikable. So it's also my job to find the places where people can relate, you know, so that they can make those turns in the play. There are many of them, and they have to make them for the play to work.
Talk to me about the writing. We all know John Patrick Shanley from Moonstruck, and in terms of, people have described this play as one of the great plays of the last 10 years or so, is it?
Yeah, I think that it probably is. I think not just in its message, which is multi-layered again in terms of its message, because it's not just a simple detective story, did he or didn't he? It really is, have a look at yourself, you know, have a look inside your body and see if you too have a little bit of guilt in terms of judging things before you know the facts and all of that sort of stuff. But his writing itself, there isn't a word that is extraneous. There isn't a word that he's made. There's no overwriting in this play. It's terse, to the point, and extremely beautiful. You know, there's also a great deal of poetry in his writing. So it makes him delicious and easy to learn.
How did you come to this role? Do you have to audition for it?
I didn't audition. I've been working for Yacht Club for many, many years. My relationship with Bill Murray goes back, too many years to remember. And sometimes I will audition, but no, they offered it to me. So, they figured that I could play an old bad-tempered boot.
When you work on the play in terms of rehearsal, now I am, from what I've read, the director made the two of you, Jonathan Young and yourself, decide whether or not the priest did what he did.
Yeah, we have our backstories. We know what we're thinking or why we're thinking them. We just don't know what each other's are.
And that's purposeful, right?
That is absolutely purposeful. I don't want to know what he knows because my character doesn't know. And I don't think it serves me to know that I'm going to be playing to his story and I need to play to my story. It's very important for me personally. Some people wouldn't want to do that. They'd want to know so that they could serve that storyline, and that's totally valid, etc. But at the same time, for me personally, I like the mystery of it. I like the fact that I can't be sure, and that helps me on stage.
How much of the year do you work?
How much of the year do I work? Well, it depends on the year.
Yeah.
I mean, acting is one of those very fickle love stories in that sometimes it has you working all the time till you're absolutely exhausted and there's not a little piece, shred of soul left in you. And other times you are completely out of work and feeling discarded and wasted. But I've been very fortunate the last 2, 3, 4 years of been working fairly nonstop, making my living and feeling that I could do with a nice big holiday, but I don't want to say that because that means I might stop working. So.
And you find that you have two young children, is that correct?
I have a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old, so they're pretty young, but not really, really young. Yeah.
And you find that you have time to spend with them. Your husband's an actor too, is that
correct?
Yes.
Yeah. We generally can spell each other off. Right now, Rasko is not working, and so he's able to get in school and all of that sort of thing, and doing a magnificent job, I must say. And this is a tricky time to be working because when the kids go to school, they need a lot of attention when they first start, right? And so it's really great that one of us is at home doing that. I personally prefer not to work at this time of year, but there you go. I am. So can't turn this one down. It's too good a piece.
Did you enjoy working on Robs in Arms?
I did. It was like a family. And we're very sad that it's done.
Well, why is it done?
We're not sure. We're not sure, I guess, there's politics involved, perhaps. I have no idea why. I just think it's a great series. I thought it was pretty cutting edge and interesting characters about Vancouver, but also about everybody in this day and age, and funny. And anyway, we're really sad it's done, and we all had a big cry, and we had a big wake for it, and but it is.
Did you enjoy working? I mean, you've worked in film, television, and now the theater.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy one over the other?
Well, theater is the actor's medium. Now, that's my child staging a protest up there, if you hear the drums in the background.
Yes, I do.
I told you they would interrupt me, didn't they? So I'm going to now walk away. Theater is the actor's medium. Once the show opens, it's yours to run with. You go from A to Z. You are in control of everything once it opens. Film, you put it on the celluloid, and then somebody can cut it and put it on the floor if they want to. But I love them both. They present different challenges. What I love about film and film more than television is that it can really enter your soul. So the very smallest thought, the very smallest change in direction is there, recorded. And it's recorded, so that's nice. You know, everybody wants a little of immortality in their life. Television is fun, and it pays quite well. That's nice. But theater is probably where the soul of the actor lies. Yeah.
This play is performed in one act. As an actor, is it more tiring?
No. I would say that the one act thing is great, and he's given my character a chance to go to the loo, because I get one scene off. So that would be the thing that I would worry about, because I'm a woman of a certain age and I've had two kids recently. I wouldn't want to do 90 minutes without being able to have my little break.
I've always wondered what actors do during intermission.
Intermission, we generally, you know, have a cup of tea, sit around, talk. If it's a very heavy piece, we might just meditate or, you know, go into a really quiet place. But generally, you know, we sit around and draw, you know. We have a good time in the dressing room. The dressing room is a lovely place to be, and people are joyous because they're working, excited, and so you forge good friendships there. I always think, I don't know if I'd want to do a one-woman show, because you'd be so lonely in the dressing room.
Right. And when you leave the theater at night, did you feel tired, like physically tired, emotionally tired?
Usually you're high at the moment that you finish. You know, you've got a tremendous amount of energy surging through your body, and it takes quite a while to have that calm down, and that can be a problem for actors with sleeping, right, because you finish quite late, and what do you do with yourself? You get home, there's nobody awake, and you're still pumped and ready for action. So it takes 2 or 3 hours to have that calm down. So you have to eat something, or, you know, have a glass of wine or something that just brings it back down to a level where you can then go to sleep.
Well, Gabrielle, it's been a pleasure having you on the program today. We'll watch the show intently this week and break a leg.
Yeah, well, I just want to mention the people who are in it before we go, if
sure.
That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got Sister James, who's the innocent young nun. She is played by Sasa Brown beautifully. Michelle Lonsdale-Smith plays the child's mother, Mrs. Muller, and that's a very interesting role in terms of the turn in the story, quite shocking turn in the story. And then, of course, Jonathan Young playing Father Flynn. And they're all wonderful actors, so really, please do come out and see it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Gabrielle, and as I said, break a leg.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The website is artsclub.com for tickets and more information. Doubt opens Wednesday and runs until October 12th at the Stanley. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.